No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchups episode for the defense. Sorry, for the offense versus the New England Patriots. Joining me for that, as always, is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for the offensive show. Had a good defensive show talking about how the Ravens can control the line of scrimmage with our four-man pass rush, seeing if we can get home with some stunts and some games up front, and then also focusing on if the inside linebackers can control the game versus Drake May.
Yeah, the pass rush in particular with the left side of that Patriots offensive line banged up. The right side has Onwenu and Morgan Moses, who are both having pretty decent years, particularly Morgan Moses for his age is still having another pretty good year. But the left side, some short arm guys and Jared Wilson and Garrett Bradbury, who have to go up against Travis Jones on a lot of double teams, we think. And then also Verdarian Lowe, who's only played about 800 or 900 career snaps, who will get Mike Green, who seems like he's played about 800 snaps already this year. He hasn't, but it seems like he has. So there should be a good opportunity for Green to get inside the arms, although we talked about that in the first one. And we talked extensively about the inside linebackers and how critical their role will be in this game, particularly with the nose tackles and the likelihood the Ravens will play their four nose tackle group again against this Patriots team, which leans on the run pretty heavily. Yep. Let's move it over to the offense, though, and what do you got for us for you first?
Yep. First matchup of the day is Mike Vrabel's defensive persona versus the Ravens' offense. We all know back in 2019 that Tennessee came in to the bank and handed it to the Ravens in a depressing fashion. And for some reason, that game holds still with us because the way the Titans came and just physically beat us and Mike Vrabel's snug attitude that day just doesn't sit right with how we view the way the Ravens play football. They out-Ravened us that day, and that's who Mike Vrabel is in terms of a coach. So I expect him to come in this Sunday night with the same attitude with his Patriots team and try to really ruin the Ravens season as they can are looking to become division champions themselves. So I expect Mike Vrabel to come in and really force the Ravens' hand, especially up front, because the Ravens aren't really that nasty like you would want them to be on the offensive line. So I'm expecting their defensive line to just be chippy after the whistle, make our guys try to make a mistake, try to get them out of their head. And for reference, I know this probably doesn't reflect Mike Vrabel, but when Yanda complained about getting spit on his last game against, I think it was Jeffrey Simmons, but that kind of attitude is what Vrabel brings to a defense. And I'm expecting that to be a theme coming in on Sunday.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how, if there are mind games involved or if there's any, if physicality plays a role. This Ravens team's done a marvelous job of being more physical than their opponents, and particularly against the Bengals. So we'll see, because, you know, as much as the Patriots, we assume they're a great cold weather team, for example, these players didn't all grow up in cold weather. A lot of them, you know, grew up in SEC areas where Texas and California and places like that, where they're coming north to play, and they don't like the cold weather either. They do practice in it, you know, some, so they have that advantage. But, you know, I expect this to be a night game where it's probably in the 30s during the game, and it'll be a fairly cold one that Lamar Jackson is not supposed to like, but Lamar Jackson has actually been pretty effective playing December football. So I'll be hopeful about that. I've got a specific Terrell Williams, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, I'm sure has some say in some of these things, even though Mike Vrabel, you know, is probably the hand around his shoulder in a lot of ways that was, as we think about it, but specifically crowding of the line of scrimmage, the Ravens were finally able to address in a satisfactory way against the Bengals. Okay. Now Lamar didn't have a perfect passing day or anything. He was 8 of 12 throwing the ball. They didn't have the ball for very much, and they only went 2 of 7 on third down. So it wasn't like the game was without flaws, and they still won by 24. My point is that they on two specific plays, the 30-yard touchdown to Ali and the 32-yard throw to Hopkins, that sidearm throw, where the line of scrimmage in both cases was very crowded. They showed zero blitz, and the Ravens took them to task for it both times. They punished them. I have been waiting for that for so long, I can't even tell you. Because when the other team is allowed to crowd the line of scrimmage, and can, some of the really serious bad Lamar games in history, most notably the 21 loss to the Dolphins on Thursday night, where they got 40 cover zero looks from Flores, you know, if the other team can do that with impunity, they will really make your life miserable. And the Ravens, you know, saw it twice from the Bengals. They were prepared. They had the plays installed. And they went to him and got easy, quick completions, one for 32 yards and another for a touchdown that just would set up the game. In fact, I think there's both on the same drive. So it ended up being a touchdown drive basically based on those two plays. Generally speaking, I've noticed that the Ravens and Lamar on a pre-snap adjustment do something I don't like versus a crowded line of scrimmage. And that is they try and scheme to get tighter. Okay, that's usually a losing philosophy. The play has to go to Lamar at that point. He has to be able to come up with the check that gives the Ravens an opportunity to get that ball out quickly, or run some sort of point of attack football, which can exploit it otherwise. But you need to have some check ready to go for those times when the Patriots are lined up all across the line of scrimmage, and it's a single shallow line of defense that can be penetrated sometimes, and you can throw over it as well. Those are the two big ways to beat it. The Ravens need to be prepared. We look at a New England team here who has not been able to stop the run. So if you can get them into neutral game script pass looks, as I say it, not ones where they can take all the risk they want to, or not ones, but times when they have to face, like they have to back off to play zone because you're beating them in the passing game. So the running game will have an unbelievable time against this defense. And there could be without one of their better players here, Spillane, which I'll talk about in my second point. But generally speaking, need to beat crowding at the line of scrimmage.
Yep, definitely agree. I think the Ravens have done better in recent weeks, especially going against the blitz when they are showing a blitz look. I think the main thing is finding those matchups like Lamar did against the Ali touchdown, where he saw that he had the one-on-one with the blitzing linebacker, and all he had to do was just do the fake swim move, and then his man is essentially out of the picture, and that's why he had the touchdown. So continuing to have adjustments like that, or even getting into a six-man protection look and giving it to your best receiver, whether it be Hopkins on the outside with a one-on-one, or Tez on the outside going on a slot fade or something like that. Just continuing to try and exploit those one-on-one opportunities with no safety over the middle is definitely key, because I think that's one area that Lamar does lack in, is trusting the one-on-one ball against the blitz downfield, especially because I think he's willing to hit the short intermediate, but we need to see the just let it go down the field, just F it sometimes, because you can't get those PI or the PI calls that we see in a lot during the Joe Flacco years.
All right. Well, I'm certainly all for that. And the Flacco years, those PIs are a lot generated off something the Ravens can't make work. And we just actually saw another illustration of that, where the naked boot creates the time and space for the levels concept, where you have three guys and you run a flat or zero route, sometimes with some sort of chip on the edge defender. Then you have a medium level cross from the opposite side of the field, and then a post of or go route on the same side of the field, on the boot side of the field. Flacco, nobody's paying attention to Joe Flacco on boots. They sometimes were, and you know, in the division, it got kind of stale and old that they ran this play a lot, and so the divisional opponents in particular got used to it. But with Lamar, you know, it's like they have a tracking device on him. That edge defender, that's the first thing he has to do. And we saw the sack this last week on exactly such a play, where Lamar basically didn't move, and the guy just came right downhill and took him down.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I mean, I think I am okay with that, because I don't want Lamar trying to further hurt himself to trying to measly gain. So it's okay. I think that was probably a risk management thing by Lamar, and good for him.
All right.
Moving on to my second point, I have the Ravens 11 personnel versus the Patriots nickel dime blitz looks. Mm-hmm. I think continuing to talk about crowded line of scrimmage, I think when they have their nickel and dime packages, we need to make them pay with some of our physicality. Like I mentioned, Hopkins, Isaiah Likely, and Andrews. Those three targets going against those smaller receivers, just giving Lamar an opportunity to high point the ball and make it easier for him when he has these defenders coming down, barreling on him. I think with 11 personnel, you need your offensive line to really focus on protection, and I'm depending on them to continue to make strides with their continuity up front, handling games and picks with elegance, not really riding your player all the way through the cup, just staying sound, looking for work, and not getting stuck on one player when you're in a one-on-one situation. So I really want to see specifically flood concepts to the field side, specifically if the Patriots are going to play a cover four look. I think we need to continue to hit the flats if that's what they want to do. I don't want to see us try to force it over the middle. I think they're going to be ready for that, especially with Andrews and Likely. I think we need to continue to work on the outside of the hashes like we did with that Isaiah Likely touchdown. Zay Flowers touchdown against Cincinnati last week, continuing to see progression down the field, essentially gearing up for the playoffs with some of these big plays that we've seen in these 2 minutes, just like Zay Flowers' big play to start the 2 minute drive of the game. And then we had a play, I think, 2 weeks ago, the same sideline. It was a big play, same way. Just continuing to scheme up plays like that. I want to see more plays from Monken where we're just having guys pop wide open and not trying to force the ball into some of these windows that we've seen lately.
I'm not a huge fan of hole shotting, but timing throws are important if they crowd. What I will say is that the Patriots play almost all single high looks. They don't play a lot of cover two. So when they're in single high, they play some cover three. Don't get me wrong, but they largely they play a single high, a post safety. And if they're going to do that, they're going to have a lot of trouble getting to the outside of the field. So they don't do it all the time, but they have you have an opportunity to go one-on-one against receivers on the outside. And that is a place where I would agree with you. I think both of your points kind of hit on the notion that the Ravens need to be willing to throw the ball outside the numbers and also be willing to let the receiver do the work to go get the football. Yes. Yeah. It's Tez Walker and Hopkins are both outstanding weapons for that.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
For different reasons. So, but for Tez, I think he's going to have to really show, maybe not against the Patriots, but in a more general sense, they can come back for the football very effectively to make plays. He's gotten deep over the, behind the defense in a way Lamar doesn't even seem to be able to adjust to. You know, the ball against Cincinnati that was overthrown was a ball that should have been only he could catch it. It should have been a walk-in six where there's about a 6 or 8 yard window there ahead of Dax Hill that it should have been catchable. The other time Lamar whistled the ball over his head, on a through a laser, which was good, but you know, Stone had fallen down and the ball was too high. So that was unfortunate. But the throws in this last game against the Bengals, the beautiful throws to Flowers on the outside, all three of them, including the interception where Flowers just dropped it. Fantastic, well-thrown balls that fit the concepts you're talking about, that you, you're hitting a receiver open in a spot in space on the sideline, and it just happened that one of the times he bobbled it right into the hands of the opponent, which was unfortunate. Yeah,
and then he catches the harder one up the sideline where he gets hit. Yeah, so unfortunate, but good for Zay. I think we want to continue to see those plays. And then if we do get Bateman back this week, that's even another receiver into the mix that is really good with timing and making sure you can get to the spot where Lamar needs it.
Yeah. It's, you know, honestly, I feel like a lot of what the Ravens could do with timing has been more a Lamar problem than a receiver problem. Yep. We never say anything bad about Lamar pretty much as a fan base, but I do think this is a weakness in his game that needs to get better. It's like on schedule throws. This is a type of on schedule throw where you throw to a spot and let your receiver get there. You don't always get to make the kind of up and down tracking throws over the middle that he's very comfortable with. Particularly hitting Zay Flowers on any kind of crossing route has been the bread and butter this year. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Ravens running backs versus the backup inside linebackers. The big news out of the Patriots injury report is they've had two straight DNPs out of Robert Spillane, the ex-Steeler who is now the Patriots green dot wearer and inside linebacker. They've unlocked a lot of his value this year. I think the more, if he's out, power schemes become a much bigger weapon against this team that you want to climb, knock those linebackers out. You can do some things, by the way, to delay and get those blocking schemes set up, because you're not going to have people that are immediately diagnosing things well, getting to the right hole on time. So some of the old things we used to see from the Steelers in the Le'Veon Bell era, when they were very effective running, you know, kind of delayed runs that waited for blocking to be set up. You can take your time in the mesh point. That freezes players and allows your linemen to get into the right place. You can use fakes. You can draw all of the things that the Ravens use in terms of misdirection could be effective. And obviously some of that means you have to break down that crowding from the first point to be able to get that opportunity. And then those linebackers should have some missed tackles. The first contact in level two has to translate to more missed tackles forced by the running backs. This is something I've been pretty much saying, it seems like in some way, tangentially, at least every week about the Ravens matchups, is that Henry needs to break more tackles. He's up to 0.13 tackles per attempt so far for the year now, which is still worse than his worst ever year, which is his rookie year in the entire league.
Oh, man.
That needs to improve. But this last week against the Bengals, Henry, 6 yards after contact per attempt, and Mitchell, 5.9. That's nice. What we want to see. We want to see that again. Also the Patriots in terms of how they defend the running backs as passing weapons, and this would include Ali, don't have a safety really to step in for a dime package, or not one they can rely on anyway. We'll see what they do, because without Spillane, they may be forced to adjust again and come up with a safety that could be in there. But they traded Duggar, of course, to the Steelers, and now they really have a shortage of a third quality safety that they can put in there as a dimebacker, and they oftentimes will stay with some form of nickel at that point, a committed second linebacker.
Yep, and I do agree with your point about Henry and the patience. And I think we did see that last week, especially with that big run to the left where I think it was Ricard leading the way, and he was looking to hit inside, and he bounced it back to the outside hole. I think Henry is, ironically enough, understanding how this offensive line is starting to block. They're starting to gel together. It's not like they weren't together last year, but I think this year is just a weird, different kind of circumstance for the whole offensive line. So I think he's understanding the timing of the offensive line now. I think Todd Monken is calling better run plays, some of the fake counter pitches that he's doing to create space immediately for the running back, like the counter pitches to the right side, that first big play by Henry right at a commercial that it had. And then Mitchell has been hitting that play multiple times this year. I think continuing to force the defense not to just go straight downhill on Henry
is being effective for us in terms of Henry getting more runs down the field into the second and third level, which is what we want to see him deliver punishment after he gets through that first wave. So I'm excited to see where this running game continues to progress. I know we've dunked on the offensive line all year, but last week was a really good week, granted against a terrible Bengals defense. But so I want to see us go against a little more better competition and show that, okay, maybe that wasn't a fluke game.
Okay, well, the Patriots are the right team also because they haven't been able to stop anybody in terms of running the football these last few weeks. So we'll hopefully the Ravens can do that. And with some additional bad injury news, we're hopeful about that. This is not a great setup in terms of the games for the Ravens, but the pressure will be unbelievably on the Ravens to win this week, win or lose for the Steelers. So Steelers play in the afternoon, Ravens play at night. Then Ravens play at night on Saturday, Steelers play the afternoon on Sunday. So the Ravens play the second and third of these four games, which will decide if we still have a season entering week 18. If they win after a Steelers loss, that makes the week 17 game irrelevant, which is almost critical for the Ravens at this point. They don't want to be playing a week 18 game and then have the Steelers have the advantage of being able to rest after they know that a win can't help them. Okay. Or they don't want to also be looking at the TV and saying, wow, we really need the Steelers to lose to the Browns now. You don't want to be in that position either. Don't get me wrong. But the best position to be in is the Ravens get the desired help from the Lions this week. Moneyline says they have about a 75% chance to beat the Steelers. And then they do what they need to do against New England on Sunday night. And then week 17 doesn't matter. And the Ravens can take their rest week. And where are you on that, by the way, Frazier? Would you be all in favor of Lamar taking the week off in week 17? Or what would you be doing?
You're saying we would be on Saturday for the Packers game. Yep. And then, okay, because I was thinking, I don't know. I think if we rest on the Packers game and then Pittsburgh ends up blowing it against the Browns, then we look stupid because we could have beat the Packers and then the week 18 game wouldn't have mattered, right?
No. Week 18, going into week 17, if the exact outcome happens this week that's hoped for, week 17, all outcomes don't matter. The only thing that can matter is like a tie outcome, and I it's so far-fetched I wouldn't even
even if we win this game and then the Packers game and then Steelers lose the next two, 18 still matters.
18 is the for the division either way. If the two outcomes happen, if the Lions beat the Steelers and the Ravens beat the Patriots this week,
regardless, 17 really doesn't matter.
Does not matter. No outcome in 17 can change the division results. It's all on the week 18 showdown.
Wow. Then, I mean, yeah, I'd be all for it resting then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't even really, because the only argument is that if we're quote unquote getting hot, that would cool us off, but nothing to this point has shown us getting hot. So I think continuing to get some rest is definitely key for this team.
The thing that's been holding back this team is Lamar's injury. I mean, more than anything, I mean, if you want the full range of offensive options you have, Lamar's got to be healthy. He probably still won't be 100% by the time they're in the playoffs, which basically the playoffs start in week 18 for the Ravens. Yeah. If they can make this,
Huntley can hold it down for sure against the Packers. I think we can still get a win against the Packers regardless if it matters or not.
Yeah, I hear all kinds of silliness about reasons why. Well, the NFL will want them to play hard. I don't care. The NFL set up this crap schedule where they gave the Steelers an advantage in terms of the scheduling. Ravens don't have to play that game. Yep. You know, what was the old 1980s line, homie, don't play that?
I'm not sure.
It may not be politically correct anymore, but it was a completely, just because the NFL is setting up with a crap schedule doesn't mean you have to play to their needs or desires. And if you give them a lousy primetime game, maybe they'll get more 1 o'clock games in the future. Anyway, so I hope I thought it was a really lousy choice of a flexed game.
Yeah.
To put that there. The NFL knew exactly what they were getting themselves into with this. And the point has been made to me that it was really a TBD game all along. It wasn't a flex game. BS. The Ravens, you know, the NFL knew exactly what they were getting into with this Ravens-Steelers thing. They're already going to put the Ravens and Steelers on Sunday night. You're going to force the Ravens to play three straight primetime games. You know, it's just, it's, Harbaugh is very successful with night football. So we have that. But on the other side of the coin, they really, you know, it's not ideal for the Ravens to be playing on Saturday when the Steelers are playing on Sunday. And they make that change on week 18. They have all the games that matter to each other playing at the same time. So this kind of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah. But I think it does bode well for us if you want to look at the bright side, because we're now, we're gearing up for, okay, now every game is televised just like the playoffs would be. So we're gearing up for, you know, getting ready for every game being televised, everything mattering at this point. And when you really get to the points where the chips are flying, you've already been in this situation for about a month now. So
that sounds great. It sounds a great game for Lamar Jackson to be the third quarterback with Huntley and Rodgers 1 and 2. Because boy, do they need that experience just in case anything happens to the playoffs. All right. Well, anyway, they have a number of other players also who are working through injuries, and I think the time off would really be appreciated. The unfortunate thing is,
for sure,
if Ronnie Stanley would be a great one. I mean, we could see Carson Vinson. That could be the really highlight of that, you know, Packers game if that were, if this were to have to play out. Now there's only about a 43% or 44% chance of it occurring, but that ain't zero.
That is not zero.
And you know, it's if it does happen, it's going to be very exciting, I think, for Ravens fans to have a bye week.
Sure.
All right. Frazier, always so much fun doing the show with you. Where do people talk football with you online?
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X@F_Rabe8. That's F_RABE8.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for a great season so far, Frazier. We'll be keeping this up all the way through the playoffs. And other folks out there, thanks for all you do to support the show. So if you want, write us a 5-star 50-word review. If you don't mind taking 10 minutes to do that, or probably 2 minutes to do that, I would guess, on your favorite podcast platform, or show that one new person this material. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Matchups.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.